Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be looking a little bit more broadly at industry news. We've had other automakers start to report some year-end things, so we'll take a look at that. And we also have some sector movement, some rotation today happening that I think worth spending some time on. Tesla stock was obviously down today while some other automakers were up, so we'll take a look at that. We do also have some Tesla updates, a few product-related things, a couple more things from analysts, and some controversial news in China. Then we do have a couple other stories as well. All right, so after the big day yesterday, Tesla today giving back some of those gains, finishing down 4.2% to $1,149.59. The NASDAQ today was also down 1.3%. And I think here, best place to start is looking at the Dow versus the NASDAQ. The Dow actually finishing up today, 0.6%. Anytime you see that, there's an indicator there that there's probably some sector rotation happening. That's reinforced if we look at the S&P 500 top performers of the day. Obviously, yesterday we had Tesla leading the pack there. Today, we've got Ford, GM, and then four oil and gas companies as the top six performers in the S&P 500 today. So you've got oil and gas up, you've got legacy auto up, you've got value stocks up, while growth is down. Definitely not surprising to see Tesla perform worse in that type of environment. I think that's also very helpful context for Ford and GM, because for Ford specifically, I saw a lot of discussion today that Ford's increase had a lot to do with their announcements on electric vehicles. I'm sure that played a role, but even without that, I think they probably would have been up pretty significantly today. And I think GM is sort of evidence for that, because GM, really not the best news cycle for them today, as automakers have started to trickle in reporting of their Q4 sales and therefore their annual sales. GM today has officially relinquished their sales leadership position in the United States to Toyota. They have held that number one ranking in market share in the US for 90 years. That was after reporting US Q4 sales down 43%. And yet the stock was the third best performer in the S&P today, up 7.5%. So yeah, I definitely think macro influencers there, and likely for Tesla then as well. And all that isn't to say that it's just macro. There's always a variety of factors, of course. And it's not like the chart for Tesla today just traced the chart for the NASDAQ or anything. Even with a higher beta, there was some variance there. But I did just want to highlight some of those things, because just like with Ford and tying the gain today to their EV announcements, I think a lot of times that focus on what's happening with one individual company and whatever headlines happen to be surrounding that company tends to get a little bit of over-attribution for what's going on with that stock. Now, obviously, sometimes it's very clear, like what we had with Tesla yesterday, clearly a reaction to the delivery report. I'm just speaking more generally, kind of day to day. That being said, I mentioned a couple times Ford's electric vehicle updates, not trying to diminish that news, so let's take a look at what they've announced. The company issued a press release this morning announcing that they are planning to nearly double production of the all-electric Ford F-150 Lightning to 150,000 vehicles per year to meet what they call soaring customer demand. Now, they have already doubled production targets once before, from 40,000 to 80,000. They didn't give a specific timeline on this update in terms of when they expect to achieve 150,000 vehicles per year, but previously it was reported that when they doubled their production target from 40,000 to 80,000 per year, that was for 2024. So the lack of any new timeline here, I think, suggests the same, or 150,000 per year for 2024. I think that assumption tracks well with another piece of information that Ford shared here. That was, quote, "Within 24 months, Ford will have the global capacity to produce 600,000 battery electric vehicles annually," end quote. Alongside this, they note that earlier they had announced, and I think I had missed this, that they expect to increase Mustang Mach-E production to 200,000 vehicles per year by 2023, which I actually think is a pretty good increase. I think, if I remember correctly, that's around four times where they're at right now. Then if you get 150,000 F-150s, that would put them at 350,000. I'm not sure what exactly the remaining 250,000 vehicles would be. I guess a big chunk would probably be the E-Transit van, though I don't recall seeing a production target on that, and then probably one or two other models. It is probably worth noting that they are saying within 24 months they'll have the capacity to produce 600,000 vehicles per year, and as we have seen with Tesla, capacity doesn't necessarily always track to production, so probably just worth keeping that in mind as well. The other couple of things worth noting in this announcement is that they do say, in terms of Ford F-150 reservations, that they are nearly at 200,000 vehicles. That doesn't seem to be rising all that quickly. Last time they had announced it, it was greater than 150,000, so even though they're saying this is due to demand, I kind of wonder if this was just planned from the start and they're just trying to play the marketing game here and say, oh yeah, we increased our production target because of demand again. I mean, their original targets were extremely low, 40,000 vehicles for 2024. That's less than the Mustang Mach-E production rate for 2021, so that never really made a ton of sense anyway, but I hope they've been planning ahead for this rather than just now figuring out that they want higher production for 2024, because obviously they can put whatever they want in a press release, but now they still have to execute to that. Anyway, the last part of this that I want to comment on is that they do say that, quote, "Over the next 2 years, Ford aims to emerge as the clear number two electric vehicle maker in North America, and then challenge the number one spot as huge investments in battery and electric manufacturing come on stream," End quote. So I appreciate that at least they can acknowledge that they're not going to be number one right away, unlike GM, which seems to be incapable of that acknowledgement, much like the US government, but at least some semblance of reality there from Ford. I don't think they'll get to that number one spot, but nothing wrong with aspiring to that. Last things on Ford then, they have added the design studio for the F-150 Lightning to their website, so you can go in and play around with the options if you're interested in seeing those. Out of curiosity, I was able to get a price range after destination fees on the base vehicle from $41,700 all the way up to $97,200 on the top end, fully optioned out. All right, just to round out the Ford and GM discussion, GM, as I said, did post sales today. Ford should be doing that tomorrow, but GM, we can see in the fourth quarter, they only sold 25 Bolt EVs. Obviously, production still shut down there with the recall, and then they only sold one Hummer EV pickup. So the so-called leader in the electrification movement sold 26 EVs this quarter. All right, getting into Tesla-specific items, we don't have a ton here. Tesla has been getting a little bit of criticism or backlash over the last day or so over an announcement by the Tesla China team that Tesla is opening a store in Xinjiang, China, which is a region that has been questioned and criticized in terms of some of the practices the Chinese government is instituting there, which many consider to be unreasonable forced assimilation of religious minorities, which China defends as an effort of deterrence against extremism and terrorism. I haven't done enough research on that to have any opinion on that. I just want to share a couple of things that I do know. First off, the Xinjiang region has a population of around 25 million people. That's a lot. That would be the third largest US state, falling in between Florida and Texas. Also want to point out that both GM and Ford have dealerships there, so Tesla not doing anything that other US automakers aren't, and Volkswagen even has a factory in that region. So again, I don't know enough to know whether morally this is the right decision or not, but Tesla is far from being the only company to do business in that area. Right, the other news that's getting a little bit of attention is in regards to the solar roof. There is a new product out that's being billed as a competitor to the solar roof, and this is from GAF Energy. They're a part of the larger GAF company, which is the largest manufacturer of roofs in the United States. They've got about 25% market share here in the US. They are out with a new solar roofing product called Timberline Solar. Now, this is quite a bit different than Tesla's solar roof. One of the key differences that GAF emphasizes is that this is the first solar roofing product that can be nailed on like a shingle. I'm sure there is still a little bit of special training that is required for this product, but GAF says that this means that any of their massive network of roofers throughout the United States can install this product. So that certainly has the potential to be a significant competitive advantage, but looking at the product itself, I don't necessarily view it so much as a competitor to Tesla's solar roof. In fact, I'm not even sure if most people would notice a difference between this product and traditional rooftop solar. And even looking at the website, they advertise curb appeal as one of the advantages of this product, and I didn't mean to, but when I saw that, I just kind of had to chuckle a little bit because I came into it kind of expecting, based on the headlines, something that looked like a solar roof, and this, it really just doesn't. That doesn't mean it can't be its own good product serving its own needs, but it's not accomplishing what the solar roof is intending to do. Definitely it looks to me like something that would just compete with traditional rooftop solar, and unfortunately we don't really know how competitive this would be because there are no specs, no pricing, so we'd have to wait for those details to make a good comparison, but I have trouble imagining how this would be superior in terms of price or performance, unless this does make installation much cheaper, so we'll just have to wait for some more information on this. Alright, a couple of other quick product updates here. First, we have some news on the refreshed Model S, which has apparently finally had track mode added in version 2021.44.30. If you're not familiar with track mode, it basically allows for a little bit more customization for greater control over vehicle's performance, whether that's torque vectoring, regenerative braking, cooling, or some other things as well. So good to see that added to the Model S, and then also good to see that Tesla has now added and opened a supercharger in Hawaii, meaning that there now finally is a supercharger in all 50 states. This kind of reminds me back in the early days of the podcast when at the start I used to do those supercharger network updates, but a nice milestone here for Tesla supercharging. And we'll have to take a look just at the progress once we do get the Q4 report at how much the supercharger network has grown this year, because it definitely seems like the installation rate has gone from being pretty linear for the past few years now to finally accelerating a little bit. All right, next up here, we just have a couple of super quick updates from analysts. First up, just a correction because I saw this misreported on a lot today. I think Street Insider had first reported that Jed Dorsheimer had increased his price target. He works for Canaccord Genuity. This was about CFRA's price target increase. The analyst there is Garrett Nelson. We'd actually talked about that increase yesterday. And I only mention this because Jed Dorsheimer is pretty highly rated. So in general, I think gets a little bit more attention. Not sure why this was misreported on, but then I saw it kind of spread throughout Tesla Twitter and various other places. So just wanted to note that correction. Jed Dorsheimer was actually on CNBC yesterday, but he didn't really have anything noteworthy to say. And despite this report, his price target did not change. It is still $1,040. Anyway, Morgan Stanley was also out with a new note today, as I kind of alluded to yesterday. I don't know, this feels more of like a blog to me than analyst updates at this point. So we're not going to spend the time to go through each of these points. They're there on screen. If you do want to take a look at those four, feel free to pause. But the premise of the note was why Tesla's blowout fourth quarter delivery is bearish for other automakers. Mostly stuff that I think we've talked about, but if we do look at that final point, I think there is something worth kind of emphasizing here. Jonas writes, quote, "While there is a flood of capital heading towards the EV / battery market, the business is still maturing, a mishmash of subscale technologies and supply chains, coagulating in the primordial soup of innovation, awaiting mass industrialization. At this stage, we believe Tesla is clearly in the financial, human / cultural, technological position to drive industrialization across vehicle manufacturing, battery technology supply chain, EV infrastructure, and other important aspects of the ecosystem, recurring revenue platform, autonomy, etc." End quote. I just wanted to highlight that because I think it captures pretty well in a pretty short amount of time just all of the leads that Tesla has, and we seem to be in the markets right now kind of in a position where a lot of these things that Tesla has accomplished are just being, to an extent, assumed for others, whether that be legacy in their pursuit of EVs or new EV startups. So I think it's good to see an analyst saying, well, wait a minute, Tesla is unique in a lot of these areas. All right, lastly, from the analyst then, we did see a price target increase from Mizuho Securities. They've upped their price target from $950 previously, now to $1,300. Not too much to say on the note other than to point out that apparently, if the Street Insider report here is correct, their 2024 and 2025 delivery targets are 1.9 million and 2.2 million vehicles, respectively. Just ridiculously low and still a $1,300 price target. All right, last couple of quick things here for today. First, just an update on the status of the EV tax credit, or more specifically, the Build Back Better plan. Obviously, it's been pretty quiet on that front for the last couple of weeks. We still don't have any major updates here, but The Hill is reporting that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, when discussing what the Senate would be working on over the next couple of weeks, made no mention of the Build Back Better plan. And they also reported that Democratic aides have warned that the plan probably won't be ready to come to the floor until March or later. And obviously, that would include potentially some major changes. Finally then, some news on Daimler. They have issued a recall for 800,000 vehicles. See, not just Tesla that has to deal with recalls. Happens a lot, but this is for 800,000 Mercedes-Benz vehicles that could potentially have an issue in the coolant pump, which could lead to leakage, which could lead to fire. But Daimler has told customers that they don't currently have the parts on hand to be able to fix this issue. Obviously, if that were Tesla, it would get a ton of attention. Looking ahead for tomorrow and the rest of the week then, the Consumer Electronics Show will be going on, so that starts in Las Vegas tomorrow. With everything going on with Omicron, it is being scaled back, but I'm sure we'll still hear quite a few announcements this week for new EVs, so keep an eye out for that. But that is it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, January 5th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.